This is the BBC Home Service.
Oh! Let that be a lesson to him. He was about to refer to the highly esteemed Goon Show. Listeners. What does that short, brief chord indicate? It indicates that Mr. Wally Stuff has forgotten the music again. Therefore, he'll be company for Mr. Greenslade. Now then, Mr. Reserve Announcer.
What is it now?
Mr. Snag. Tell the British Empire and East Acton what we have decided is good for them. Let the joy bells ring.
Mazel tov. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been and got a lot of geezers and spielers, and we... Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, on my own responsibility, I present the mystery of the Marie Celeste, Psalm!
Unsold in the nautical annals of sea mysteries is that of the brigantine Marie Celeste. But more of that later. Let us trace the thread of a rather unique experiment.
One spring afternoon in December, Ned Seagull and a handsome young buck about town decided to dine out.
Yes, as I sat in my usual place, I opened the Financial Times and carefully noted the number of chips I had left. I turned to the gossip page and helped myself to some fish. It was then a small notice caught my eye. It read,
"Author of sea stories will pay £5,000 to any person furnishing conclusive proof as to the fate of those who manned the Marie Celeste."
I read no further.
But you don't know my address.
I read on.
Apply, Captain Gritpipe Finn, first mate, the building's Hackney.
Come in. Captain Gritpipe Finn?
Yes, matey.
So this was the author of 1,000 sea sagas. He was a tall, vile man, dressed in the naval uniform of a seagoing sailor. Under his left arm, he held a neatly rolled anchor, while with his right, he scanned the horizon with a pair of powerful kippers.
Ahoy!
Ahoy!
Ahoy! Pull up a bollard.
Pardon?
That thing there is a bollard.
Is that what you tie ships to?
Well, sir. No, matey. What can I do for you?
I've just read your offer in the paper about the Marie Celeste.
Little Matalow. That was inserted in 1910, 44 years ago.
My paper man has a big round.
Your paper man has a big round what?
Ahoy!
Ahoy! Pull up a bollard. Little bursin. What do you know about the Marie Celeste?
You're offering £5,000 reward for the mystery of it.
You come here often?
No.
Good. Powder monkey, let me tell you about the Marie Celeste. Ahoy!
Ahoy!
Ahoy! At 3 o'clock on the afternoon of December the 5th, 1872, betwixt the Azores and twixt the coast of Portugal, the Marie Celeste was sighted.
Ahoy!
Ahoy! On board her, there was no sign of life, and yet...
You're offering £5,000 reward.
Have you ever been shipwrecked?
No.
I'll arrange for it.
Ahoy! Ahoy!
Aboard the Marie Celeste, all was shipshape and Bristol fashion. Food freshly laid, no signs of a strudgel, and yet... not a soul aboard her. Any questions?
Yes. What's the bollard?
Ahoy!
Hey!
Yes. The crew disappeared without trace. Now... if you can furnish a satisfactory explanation as to what happened to them, £5,000.
Right. I'm your man.
You silly, twisted boy, you.
Give me a month and I'll have the answer by hook or by crook.
And now,
On the first stage of investigation, Ned Seagoon hurried round to the office of a large shipping magnate.
Come in. Come in.
It's you that's knocking.
Oh. Then I'll come in. My name is Ned Seagoon.
I find no joy.
Are you leading Admiral Dennis Budlock, chief of the International Shipping Line?
I have that privilege.
I never knew there were shipping offices on the Serpentine.
Oh, yes, yes. I do all my business from here. What's the time?
What is the time?
Good heavens. Come in, number 49. Come in. Well, now, what can I do for you?
Admiral Budlock, I wish
just a moment. I shan't tell you again, 49. Some of these people think I run these pleasure boats for pleasure. Now, lad, pull up a bollard.
Admiral, I was told that you had associations with the ill-fated Mari Celeste.
Oh, lies, do you hear me? Lies. I was in Bangalore at the time. I deny every word. She's lying, I tell you. Lying, and so is Alice Girth and Mary Stuhler and all the other women I'm enlisting. They're all after my piggy bank, do you hear me?
Oh. Admiral, please. Mari Celeste was found abandoned at sea.
Oh, poor girl. How she must have suffered.
The Mari Celeste is a ship.
Of course, wait a minute. Of course, the Mari Celeste. I'd almost forgotten.
Right. Now, can you tell me anything about her?
Of course, I have the record here.
Ying Tong in Lai Po.
Good! Now, I'd like to tell you all about the Mari Celeste. But unfortunately, lad, I'm sworn to secrecy. Absolutely, ma'am. Yes, I'm afraid it would take a lot to make me talk.
£5,000?
That's a lot. The entire documents are at your service.
Thank you. For a night, I pored over vital documents. Then, when all seemed lost, Admiral Blodnock suddenly remembered a vital map reference.
Latitude 38, 29 north. Longitude 17, 15 west. Off you go, lad.
Right, taxi, and go!
I waited for Seagoon's return, and then, at dawn...
Admiral, I just returned from latitude 38, 20 north. Longitude 17, 15 west.
You're soaking wet.
You didn't tell me it was at sea.
It is true. The Mari Celeste was found at sea. Look, lad. Here.
Yes, sir.
Here, laddie.
Yes,
here's the name of a shipyard. The very one that built her. Now, why don't you go along and see if they can give you any information?
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye. Sharing your gladness, my life desire. Sharing your... Hello? Hello? Blodnock here. Listen, Mr. Cunn. What we planned for has happened. Yes, Ned Seagoon's the name. Yes, I've sent him to you, and he's offering £4,000 reward for any information. All right, goodbye, Mr. Cunn. Seaman Galray, bring 49 in and play us the horn mouth on your pipe organ in the Sea of Key Shanty.
Thank you.
Marie Celeste Mystery Solved, Part 2. And now...
While Max Gilder was playing that Earl English ballad, how many listeners noticed that Ned Seagoon had gone to a certain shipwright at Deptford Creek? You must watch these points.
Put him in the barrel until he's sober. Put him in the barrel until he's sober. Put him on the vessel, let's hear him laugh. Minnie, stop that mad, crazy, muddin' rhythm style singing. Why should I stop my muddin' crazy rhythm style singing, Minnie? Because we are seafaring folk. If you must sing, sing a shanty. Only a shanty. Minnie, I shall come down there in a minute.
Bannister and Crun?
Yes.
Then, this firm built the Marie Celeste?
Yes, I did.
You did? Oh, come now. The Marie Celeste was built over 100 years ago.
Oh, then it must be my day off.
Ahoy! Mr. Crun!
Ahoy!
I want you to build and man a second Marie Celeste. Don't you see? The idea is to resail the ill-fated voyage and reconstruct the mystery.
Build another Marie Celeste? Good.
Yes. I want you to build a replica.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a shipbuilder. I'm no good at replicas.
Good! Now, how long to build it?
Oh, well, there's a lot of work, you know. Yes, there isn't. I mean, the old plans will have to be modernized.
The modern style.
Yes. There's a crazy plan, you know. Then there's the wood. Very difficult to get the wood, you know.
Yes.
And the rope. Oh, the rope.
Yes. Now, give me a rough date.
The deck timbers. Oh, that's it. And the canvas to go aloft.
When will the boat be finished?
After dinner.
Have the whole ship completed after dinner?
Yes.
What's the delay?
The wood. You can't get the wood.
All right, I'll just have to be patient. After dinner, then. Ahoy!
Ahoy!
He's up! Had him on the four-four landing!
And now...
No sooner had young Ned Seagoon left the shipyard than Mr. Crun hurriedly spoke to a seafaring man.
Commodore, it's happened at last.
Oh. Oh, it's happened at last, eh? It's happened at last. Well, it's happened at last, eh? Well, has it happened, you said? It happened?
Yes.
Oh, it's happened at last, eh? Oh. What's happened?
Admiral Bloodnock sent him to us, and he's here.
Oh, here. You mean he... He's really here? Was it him?
Yes, he's here.
He's here. Who's here?
Him, Ned Seagoon. You know, the plan that we all worked on, the Marie Celeste plan.
Oh, that one.
Yes, and as a reward for 3,000 pounds.
Well, I'll go and get the original crew.
Yes, it's simple. All we have to do is to get...
Yeah.
Oh,
Listen, fellas, it's happened, fellas. It's happened. And he's offering an award of 1,000 pounds.
Here, did you hear that, Seekum Yakamoto? He's offering a reward of 500 pounds.
What's he say?
Honorable man is offering 250 pounds.
250 pounds, eh? I'll tell Captain by Blue Bottle.
Oh, yeah. I have just been told there's a reward of 17 and 9 pence. An extra bob a week, if we live.
Listeners, have you noticed a slight drop in the reward? You must watch it, little point.
And now...
Ned Seagoon hurried back to the author, who was offering £4,000 reward.
£5,000.
I've got to live as well. Anyway, Ned Seagoon informed Admiral Griffith Thin of the progress he had made, and that he, Ned Seagoon, was preparing to resail the ill-fated voyage again.
Correct. We sail today.
Now, here is a gale warning.
We sail tomorrow. We should reach the exact spot in 5 days.
In the meantime, Ray Ellington, pull up a bollard. Ahoy!
Ahoy! Help! What's going on? A, B, C. It's as easy as can be. Now listen, down around the corner in a little school, children learn the lessons and the golden rule. 'Cause they got a teacher up from Basin Street, and she does the teaching with the bookie beat, teaching A, B, C with rhythm and ease. Yeah. Every single morning it's the same old thing. All the kids are waiting for the bell to ring. When they hear it ringing, they all jump in line, walking through the schoolroom, feeling mighty fine, to learn the ABC with rhythm and ease. Oh, reading and writing and arithmetic, taught you the tune of Lickristic. No education is ever complete without a boogie woogie woogie beat. Well, I'll read. When the day is over, it's time to go. The children get the books and stand beside the door. Teacher is so happy, 'cause she's done a bit to educate the kids. Make them really fit to say the ABCs with rhythm and ease. Dicky, take your football boots off the piano. Now take your boxing gloves off. Now what are you playing with? What am I going to say next? Reading and writing and arithmetic, talking to the tune of a hickory stick. No education is ever complete without a boogie woogie woogie beat. Well, I'll read. When the day's over and it's time to go, children get in line and stand beside the door. Teacher is so happy because she's done a bit to educate the kids and make them really fit to say the ABC.
Marie-Celeste solved, part 3. Exactly as in 1872, the brigantine Marie-Celeste II slid gracefully out of harbor, past the boom, and into the open sea.
Well, we're underway, Captain.
Yes, yes. Put your hand out, Seagoon. We turn left here, lad.
Sometime later, I give a last glance at land. It gave one a strange feeling to see the Beachy Head lighthouse pass our stern. We were at anchor. But soon we were on the open sea. After 5 days at sea, I was having dinner in the crow's nest when... suddenly...
Ahoy! You up there, Mr. Seagoon?
Yes!
Admiral Bloodnock, Quimplemont. He wants you in his cavern right away.
Right away?
Yeah. But first, I want to tell you something.
Coming now!
Oh, there. It's a nasty fall, that is.
Are you okay?
I think so. Oh, ow! Now, what do you want to tell me?
I've taken a ladder away.
I don't know about that, Effie.
Mr. Seagoon, we're nearly there. Then we can reenact the mystery for you.
Good. Wait a minute. Do you know what happened to the original crew of the Marie Celeste?
Put him on the first.
Mr. Cran! Mr. Cran! I'll go and ask the Admiral. Perhaps he'll explain. Excuse me.
Are you off? What goes on the wall and Neddy Sligoon? What?
Where is Admiral Bloodnock's cabin?
That door there, marked ladies only.
Thank you.
Chip, chop, chop, chop.
Chop, chop. I strode towards the cabin, determined to get to the bottom of the mystery.
Yes?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I thought this was the Admiral's cabin.
Just one moment.
Come in.
Admiral Bloodnock, you said you wanted to see me.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Young lady, yes. You haven't met my sister, have you?
You told me you were an only child.
In that case, meet my mother.
How do you do?
I'll see you later, mother dear.
Oh, Dennis. All right, then.
Yes,
but Admiral, you look 20 years older than she does.
Oh, yes, lad, but then I've had a lot of worry, you know. Now, Ned, to business. What about the, money?
When we arrive at the rendezvous tomorrow, a naval vessel will be present with the author aboard.
Author? I don't wish to know any author.
He's the man with the money.
Introduce me at once.
He will not furnish the money until he receives a satisfactory explanation as to what happened to the crew.
Had me Marlin's spikes. I know what happened. This is a true story. On the rent...
I didn't mean my little heavy captain. Ain't a bluebottle in rough seaman's itchy jersey. And with a patch over one eye and a dirty big stocking on the head. Hole! Not a fussy.
Just as I was about to find the answer. What's going on here, little ragged pants?
We have sighted a British man of war, H.M.H. Gladys. Points with finger at the sea. We are getting ready to act in mystery. Stands by canyon to fire salute.
What is the mystery of Marie Celeste?
Nay, nay. There's a 17 and 9.3 reward. And until I get it, not a word shall pass my lips.
Ties himself the mouth and waits for 50 lashes.
Here's your 17 shillings and 9.3. Now, out with it.
Thank you.
Takes out 17 and 9.3 piece, which is no bigger than a tenner. Puts it in rough seaman's purse. Prepares to tell mystery.
When we were...
sees Admiral at a corner of eye. Good job I have got square eyes.
I say, little knobbly actor, where's he gone?
Where's that naughty little powder monkey gone? It's time to fire a salute. Echo!
Okay, give me the match and stand back.
Third time, then remember 17 and 9 puts in purse. Mom's back on ship, suspend sane, exit left for nothing.
Perhaps someone will tell me what's going on here.
I'll tell you. We are the original crew of the Marie Celeste.
Good heavens, ghosts!
We ain't ghosts,
but you can't be human.
Well, that's different.
I'll tell you what happened. When we sailed the original Marie Celeste, we made rough.
Yes, 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 yes.
Please, don't do that. Then we set the table, left everything as it was. Then we quietly slipped over the side. And suddenly, Gripkins, that's really what happened. Isn't that right, Mehaki?
Aye!
But Why did you do it?
Because we knew that one day someone would offer a reward for the solution of the mystery. And by thunder, it's happened. Hasn't it, Behati?
But why could you have just told me? Why come all this way?
They'd never believe us, lad. How some people can doubt me. Me, the very soul of honesty. Isn't that right, Behati?
HMS Darius on the
port bow, sir. Splendid! On board is Captain Griffith Finn with the 5,000 pounds.
Right. Stand by to reenact the mystery, lad.
Okay.
Ahoy there, HMS Gladys! Captain Griffith Finn, are you ready with the money?
Money?
Ahoy there! HMS Gladys!
Hi, come on, Gladys!
Oh, holy!
Stand back, Eccles, let me try. I used to be in the choir.
Oh, hi there, Captain Goodbye, Finn!
Here is the news. 2 days ago, a crew under the command of Admiral Bloodnock in the Marie Celeste II boarded a British sloop, HMS Gladys. On board, all was shipshape, but there was no sign of life. Mr. Neddy Seagoon is offering £5,000 for a solution to the mystery of HMS Gladys.
Ahoy there, matey.
Ahoy.
About the reward money for the solution of HMS Gladys.
That was The Goon Show, recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe, and Spike Milligan, with the arranged quartet and Max Gilray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Eric Sykes and Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Peter Eaton.